in a city. No, that won't do it. I know the governor of the state. Not even close. Well, I know the state senators and representatives. Well, I say good for you, but no balloon. You may know the president of the United States of America. You may know the CEO of Telsa. You may be friends with the most popular entertainer, but none of that will do you any good on the day of your passing. Though glorious and sorrowful, exalting words of remembrance may be said of you at your funeral, it will be of no avail. And even if the most endearing, godly, wonderful expositor of the scriptures preaches the funeral and presents a tearful and well-written prayer of commitment over you, our soul is still in jeopardy. My friend, if you're sitting out there in this congregation, listen well. The only friend you ever had, the only personality you ever known, the only government official or world leader that is able, or those that are able to deliver the gospel message that will be of any hope to you on your last day will be Jesus. Jesus. So today, I'm going to attempt to help you know Jesus a little better. Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, this is Peter speaking of Jesus, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the truth and life and the door. No man cometh the Father but by me. I'm the way. He's called the Savior, the Redeemer, the bread of life, Lord, Creator, Son of God, only begotten, the beloved Son, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Kings. Pilate called him the King of the Jews. He was wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's our advocate. He's the Anointed One, the Christ. He is Rabboni, or Rabbi, Teacher. He is the new Adam. He's the son of David. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the word. He's the door. He's the life. He's the good shepherd. He's the truth. He's the way. When I was a kid, we sang a song. I had to write the words down because I might not remember them, but I didn't write the tune down, so you might be in trouble. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, you see, the Lord of all to me for all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Isn't that a good song? Talk about Jesus. We talk about a lot of things. Don't talk much about Jesus. So today I'm going to attempt. I've taken an outline of this sermon for my denominational's conference. You know, before I start, I'm going to ask a word of prayer for myself so I can get through this. Heavenly Father, as we have read the scripture and studied and tried to present this, Lord, to help deliver this message so that hearts may hear and they may maybe take it to their soul's benefit and know more about you and desire you more than all. In your name we pray. Amen. I took this from our ministerial conference last April. It was entitled, the name of the conference was, I Speak Jesus. And, of course, it was talking to us about Jesus. Now, I was smart enough to write down the outline of the things they said. But I wasn't quite smart enough to write down the scriptures. So, having the outline, I've drawn some scriptures that I think will give meat to this outline and help us understand. Now, on the 26th of April, at Washington Courthouse, Ohio, at the Heritage Church of Christ and Christian Union, four different highly respected district superintendents of the churches in Christ and Christian Union delivered a portion of this outline. Each one of them did one portion. It took about 3 hours of preaching to accomplish this. Now, I know I cannot keep you through such an ordeal. So doing it by myself, I think I can do it about half that time. I see Ray looking at his watch. He said, you got 25 minutes, baby, and then I'm out of here. Now, let me begin with this, and of course I hope we all know and understand. Jesus did not come into existence on that day he birthed in Bethlehem when he was born to the Virgin. Jesus, the second person of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been from eternity's beginning, always was, that his earthly life began when he was born of the Virgin, and it took place to help lead us to God and to pay the penalty of sin. If we look in John, he says that he was in the world, but the world knew him not, but he created the world, tells us that in John. And it also says that the Word became flesh, and that that was God became the Word became a human being such as I. And as I consider it, and I hope you'll pass or help me through this portion of it so that you understand what I'm saying, that Jesus rising up from the grave to him, now not to us, but to him, I don't think he considered that a miracle. Okay? Bear with me on this. If I said something that was spectacular, unexpected, supernatural, and it happened, now that might be a miracle. But if I say something that I have the power to do, like I don't have one in my pocket, but if I said to you, I will give you a dollar bill, and you come up and I give you a dollar bill, that's not a miracle. Now, if I gave you a $10 bill, that might be a miracle. But if I gave you a dollar bill, that wouldn't be, because I have that within my power to do. I have a dollar, I can give you a dollar. Now, if I said that the Cleveland Browns may win the Super Bowl, now that would be a miracle. Okay. But when Jesus, he's able to do, and when he said he would rise again, there was no power on earth or in this universe that was going to keep him in the grave. He is God. He has that power. He said, I'm going to rise again. And that was just it. It was going to happen. First section of this. Jesus is the power. He has power over healing. He has power over life. He has shown his power in his word. First and foremost, Jesus has power to forgive sins. That's a healing of the soul. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. In Matthew 1:21, the angel speaking of Mary has said, you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 9:1-8 talks about Jesus and his healing ministry and how he's healed the paralytic man there in the Pharisees saw it, and they begin to talk one another because Jesus says, their sins be forgiven thee. And they have to go, oh, how can this man forgive sins? How can he do this? And here's what Jesus said. He said, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you have evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, take up your bed and walk? But that you should know that the Son of Man has power on earth, not only in heaven, but power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And the paralytic man took up his bed and went to his house. Jesus is telling, I have the power. I can forgive sins. There on the cross as he hung between the two thieves. One thief was mocking him, and the other said, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, assuredly, today you will be with me in paradise. I like that word assuredly. Assuredly. Without a doubt. There's nobody can change it. It's done. I said it. It's going to happen. I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of the living God. I created this world. I said when we're done off this cross, you and I are going to be in paradise together, and that's the way it's going to be. And it don't matter who like it, who don't like it, that's the way it is because I said it. I am Jesus. I have that power. I can forgive sins. I can heal your soul. I can give you eternal life. Now we also know Jesus has a healing power of the body. And I won't spend too much time on that, but the Gospels are just saturated. Just saturated with Jesus, the healing of the withered hand, of the lepers, of the deafs, of the dumb, of those that were blind, of those that had the issue of blood. He was just full of those different healings that he was able to do instantaneously, on the moment, without a physician, by his own power, by the speaking of his own word, by his ability as Savior and King and Redeemer and Healer, he was able to do it and still is able to do it. Not only did Jesus have the power to forgive sins and to heal the body, but we saw so many other things he did. He calmed the seas. He controlled nature. When the storm came, he controlled it. He had Peter and he walked on water and had Peter walk on water. He spoke to a tree and caused it to wither. Jesus has the power of life. In Mark and Luke, we read the record of Jesus bringing back to life the daughter of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. In chapter 11 of John, we read of Jesus coming to Bethany 4 days after Lazarus had been in the tomb. 4 days. Rotting and stinking because they preserved them in spices and things, but they didn't have the embalming that we had today. 4 days he was in the tomb until when he came and they said, he said, he'll rise again. Oh, yes, well, no, he'll rise up and when resurrection. He said, but he's dead now. He said, no, he's going to live now. I'm Jesus. I'm the God of this world. I'm King. He's going to live right now. And he looked at that tomb and he said, Lazarus, get up. Get up and get out. And Lazarus got up. And the clothes fell off of Lazarus. Those wrappings that they had wrapped him in, they come off of him. And he walked out of that tomb. And Jesus said to them, he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Jesus said it. He proved it. He has the power. You know, that's a good picture of us in sin, too. Talking about forgiveness of sin. We all are dead in our sin. We're all rotten in our sin. You may have a lot of sin, you have a little sin, but we're all dead to our sin. We're bound by sin. We're in those grave clothes of sin. And Jesus, when he calls us, come forth and forgives us of those sins. Those grave clothes come off. That weight comes off. We're no longer stinking anymore. Jesus said, I come to save. He said, he'll save us. He'll cleanse us. He'll take care of us. Jesus has that power. It's also a picture of redemption. I just shared that and I got ahead of my notes, but that's fine. And remember, Peter told us that only through Jesus' name can we find salvation. Friend, every one of you who claims Jesus as Savior has had that moment, the time in your life when your sin, great or small, was forgiven. And by believing, you've been set free to life everlasting. The Bible tells us in John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know the trouble with a lot of the world today, though, a lot of the church? They want forgiven of sins, but they don't want cleansed of unrighteousness. They won't be forgiven today, and then they won't all be forgiven tomorrow for the same thing. Lord, forgive me every day, keep forgiving me, because I'm going to keep sinning. No, if that's the way you're living your Christian life, come on up. You need another dose. You didn't get it. You didn't understand it. Jesus said, I come to forgive you. Then I come to clean you. Clean you, cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Don't walk around. And that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean we won't ever err. But when we do, we'll run back to Jesus and say, oh, help me. I've boo-booed again. I didn't mean to do it, or I did mean to do it, but forgive me, Lord. I will do my very best within you with the power of the Holy Spirit to not do it again. He won't throw us out with the dirty laundry. But don't let your laundry get too dirty. Keep clean. He's looking for white robes. White robes is what the church will wear on that day. Lord, help us. Jesus, he's peace. We don't have much peace in this world today, do we? Jesus is peace. At the birth, the shepherds were told, glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Jesus told us in John, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because he was going to make a place for them, wasn't he? And he's going to come back and get them. Peace, that peace of knowing. It's peace brought by belief in Jesus, in the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit, that in times of overwhelming catastrophe, in the times of health issues, in the times of financial distress, you can have peace knowing that the most important issue has been settled. It's hard to think of peace with all the catastrophe, the slaughter of the children down there in Texas, the war in Ukraine, the crime, the killing, the burglaries, the thefts in our cities. And he said, where is peace? There is a serene Spirit of God that rests upon us, not when we measure the riches by our bank account or by events in our lives, but it comes on us when we realize the grace of God that through Jesus, which replaces our lost destiny with his wonderful love and peace for eternity. There's an old song says, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I've a peace that has come here to stay, constantly abiding. Jesus is mine, constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. Peace, peace in Jesus. When you're troubled, know that he's ascended into heaven. And he sent the Comforter to be with us. That Holy Spirit that can be with us, indwell us, keep us, comfort us until his coming again.